everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And we focus on education. And on this show, through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing the ideal environment bring harmony within mind, body and spirit, which is harmonic living, basically. So if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. And the number to call is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs as well, and maybe buy an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And obviously I had a brain cave in there. Anyway, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth plane. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a bit more about the process and what you're about to hear. Okay, thank you very much. Bye.
Well, thank you.
That's all right.
Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Spirit Gregory. This means there is no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. As Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. We're also on secondlife.com again this Sunday, and that's 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific. The virtual world of Second Life is absolutely fabulous fun. If you've not been there yet, you can get in touch with us, or just go, you can join. It's free to join. Or if you do, if you are interested and you want to ask some more questions about how to join and you want some help, then I can put you in touch with somebody. So anyway, it's 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific at the Mystic Academy in the new Oracle Temple. Okay, so come along and you'll have another chance to interact with Gregory and lots of other people as well. And that's the other thing, you can interact with each other as well, instant message each other. Okay, so I do believe Gregory's with us.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how to, we started off with ourselves, didn't we? How we could become in tune with ourselves, as in things that we put into ourselves, things that we have around us, and that sort of thing. Harmonic living. So, and then we moved on to buildings and all sorts of, and it's going all over the place, and I think it's absolutely fascinating because some really, really interesting things are coming up from this. So, last week, actually, we ended up talking about how I said to you that it was interesting how when we are babies, when we have babies, that we are we concentrate so hard on making the environment so perfect for them, with, you know, getting the ambience right in the rooms and the colour and all of the other things. And then you actually did say that at the age of about four, then everything goes out the window. Well, just to pick an age, approximately, and then it all gets forgotten, doesn't it? What difference do you think that it would make if we actually concentrated that hard on our, not just the bedroom, I guess, but okay, because that's the main thing, isn't it? The bedroom and the playroom.
Yes, absolutely so.
What difference would that make to a child and to a person in general?
Well, of course, much of it, I understand, on your side of life at this present time in history, is geared toward education, as it is that you see that education is utmost within the minds of all parents, or at least with the majority. So it means to say then that if you obviously educate your children to something of a standard beyond yourself, it does mean to say that you are trying to ensure that their genetics and their life history is going to be something of an improvement of your own. Naturally, we understand this, and of course, all civilizations and societies have to move forward in progress. However, there are certain analogues of progress whereby you may say that with hindsight were perhaps of poor judgment, or that you may say with hindsight that they were perhaps a little too focused in one way or another. I understand that within the anthroposophical society and state of mind, it is that they do not practice with formal reading and writing until at least the age of seven. That doesn't mean to say that children cannot pick up a book or cannot write or whatever. But what it does mean is that they don't have any specific formal training. An interesting concept, really. And much of this arrives at the point of, quite simply, look, this is the premise, that it is supposed to be that children are allowed to grow in their own way and also perhaps be more funded by the simple facets of knowledge gathering to do with the rest of the harmonics of the world, not actually taught formally in as much of reading and writing, but actually taught other gifts and spirit makeup, really, to do specifically with perhaps situations of harmonics. They're actually taught harmonic living. They're actually taught to engage with and understand the spirits of the earth and the way in which the different aspects of energy to do with the earth plane coexist within and around each individual. So it means to say it's forming lessons on a completely different basis.
So you're talking about the Waldorf schools, the Rudolf Steiner.
Yes, and I'm not saying that theory. It's perfect, and I'm certainly not saying that it's right for everyone.
No.
But, however, the point really is that by refraining from this list of formal education, you're actually inspiring the interest of different facets of the linkage of the physical life, so that if you are directing a child into a mystical and magical sequence of events, you are instilling once again the magic of life. And the whole situation, if you are giving, shall we say, for example, offerings to fairy or whatever, it's exactly the same as any other thought principle based around the whole premise that you are honoring those who have passed, or that you are honoring those energies to do with the welfare of the planet. Isn't that a more holistic situation to recognize?
Yes, so basically, if people haven't heard of the Steiner education, it's the Waldorf schools, Rudolf Steiner's theory of it takes into account the needs of the whole child, doesn't it? Mind, body and spirit, basically,
yes,
as far as education goes, and sees artistic activity and the development of the imagination as integral to learning. Formal learning, yes, doesn't actually feature until a bit later, does it?
And, no, that is true.
And I'm not sure. Yes, it does.
And the form of learning that takes place is actually teaching a child how to learn. That's the basis behind it.
Yes.
So that it means once the child knows how to learn, it will actually grow in abundance and want to learn everything. And that's really the whole inclusiveness of it, that it wouldn't be specifically geared to one specific thing, although, of course, that child will actually grow toward a progression of one subject. But it will be that they will be able to apply the same field of learning to everything, which in many respects, if you talk to people who have a great deal of world knowledge, it will be that they will be able to turn their hand to almost anything.
Mm. Yes.
Being both practical and also have a good awareness of the spatial index, for example, of how to actually put things together and be able to make different situations work, as well as being able to understand the whole calligraphy of the concept of how you make a piece of education work for yourself. So it means to say that, for example, many people who go through this form of education are able to perhaps take a degree or something like that in less years than you would normally take it in.
Mm, absolutely.
That kind of thing.
So it's a continuation of really, like I was saying, you know, if we had it more in mind from when a baby, instead of losing the fact, you know, of the ambience and the whole nature of looking after a baby, if you know what I mean, and
yes,
creating the right environment, because that's what it's doing, isn't it?
Yes.
These Waldorf schools are creating the right environment, really. Apparently they do things like child-led classes and that sort of thing, and to get children to express themselves naturally, and handicraft and painting and that sort of thing to bring their inner harmony out, if you know what I mean.
Yes, they're in
from a young age rather than trying to channel them into formal education too young.
Yes, and rather have giving them confidence in their ability to be able to do that.
Mm.
So it means to say that they become much more used to establishing their own voice.
Mm.
So it gives it a form of confidence, and a real confidence, too.
So shaping our home into enhancing our spirit's journey is really important, because that's the other thing about these places, is that they are shaped differently, because we were talking last week about softening the shape of our home, isn't it?
Yes, but it isn't just that. It's also to do with the colours used as well, and the blend of colours. So you wouldn't have one plain colour of a wall, for example. It would be many different shades of the same colour, all blended in together.
Okay.
I know that could possibly be a bit of a mess.
If it wasn't done right,
if it
certainly
wasn't done
could.
Right.
Yes. Well, would you like to talk about colours? Because we did bring, or not. I mean, it's up to you. I'm just trying to find out areas that we've not covered in this series, so that we can.
Yes. Well, so for example, within that, it is really to do with, shall we say, if you want to create a warm or a very sunny room, you wouldn't just use a single bright colour like lemon or yellow. You would actually blend it with orange and various different shades. And you would perhaps use a, a sponge in order to do that. So it would actually appear to permeate different forms of the same color and echo it back to you. Oftentimes people find that walls of this type, which have been painted in this way, actually form a kind of movement, so that as you look into it, it appears as though the wall has no flat appearance, but appears to go on.
So you feel like you're...
So it's like it has its own depth.
Within it. You're within...
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Right, well, that could be quite an art, to get that to a point where it actually looks nice, really, couldn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Of course it is.
Okay, so that would be a process of experiment.
Yes, and as I say, so these kinds of situations then can be guaranteed to perhaps help to shape, for example, if you have a child who is extremely angry or something like that, you may well be able to temper that anger with certain forms of color to help to develop and strengthen the person's own attitude. And that doesn't mean to say that anger always has to be pandered to or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But clearly, oftentimes when people have certain problematics that arise in their life, it's usually that anger arises from frustration or certain occasions when they are not able to cope with themselves or communicate their something that there is a disagreement over.
Mm. Yes. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, it's not readings, we're not giving readings, although Gregory does do readings, private readings, at other times, so if you'd like to find out about that. Anyway, the phone lines are open if you've got a question about our subject, and maybe you've got a child that or some situation that you want to bring harmony into your home, to know how to maybe shape your home, or anything to do with that. And the number is free phone in the US, it's 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-815-9756. Can you explain how harmony in the home permeates actually deep within the fabric of the building and walls of a home, and how that actually happens? Yes, that would be good.
Yes, quite so. Well, it's exactly the same as any other energy. Energy is energy, don't forget. And regardless of what form or fabric of energy it is, it will have a resonance. And that resonance will allow the energy to have links with the fabric of the place. How this actually happens, and I know it's very difficult because you are thinking, well, surely that these are unseen energies. So therefore, for example, if you have someone then who is angry, what is it that you are feeling? You are feeling the vibrational state coming from the other being. And actually, it's reverberating. And what actually tends to happen then is that it's coming back. What you feel is that it's coming back. It's being reverberated from different surfaces of your physical world.
Hello, caller.
There. Hello, Sylvie and Gregory. How are you?
Oh,
hello,
hi.
And hello.
It's been a while since I've spoken with both of you.
Hello.
Yes, hello, friend. Hello.
Hello there. Yes, speaking of children, I have a young son here who is over 3 years of age, and his name is Logan, with an L-O-G-E-N.
Yes.
And I find it remarkable how, as I observe him with no judgment, but when I observe him, he's really teaching me.
Yes.
He's teaching me many aspects of myself that I'm willing not to look at. And it's fascinating. Yes. How our children become our teachers.
Absolutely so. My dear friend.
And I love him for that. Yes.
Yes. It is only really as a matter of how one person decides to open their eyes and really to see the reflection, not of oneself, because I know that this relates to the genetics, but really to see the spirit of someone else from whatever group they have come from.
Yes, when I look into his eyes and when he certain characteristics that are not from genetic traits of my own or my wife.
Yes.
I can see, like, his past lives are coming through, aspects of himself as beingness.
Yes, I understand that.
It's a soul connection, isn't it, Gregory?
Yes, yes, quite so. Yeah. It's actually a soul connection that you are looking at, my dear friend, and you are looking at various aspects of his continual journey. Perhaps they may well have been journeys that he made as a pure, beautiful spirit in helping others form their association as it will be. This is what many people actually see upon one another. However, it's very interesting that some appear to be having these actually registering within the auric field of someone rather than them being layered within the spirit psyche. So, for example, then, it means that the spirit's energy is actually permeating throughout the whole physical state. An interesting performance, really, when you consider that the spirit never actually enters into the physical realm. It's just purely an echo of the spirit, and it just really shows how far the spirit has come into the resolution of being at one with the physical state, if you follow me. That when you look at a child or some other person, or even yourself, your spirit is not necessarily always deep within yourself, because it's in a different dimension. Yeah. So it could be at another aspect to yourself, you understand? And so it means to say then that when you observe another person and perhaps you look into and see reflections of their past state or what they interacted with as a pure, beautiful spirit, it will be that, in a sense, gives you an echoed reflection. It may well be, in fact, that this is something which is harnessed by the environment in which you are viewing this. And no doubt it will be because of the harmonic energy within the fabric of your relationship and your giving state, not in a state of ego, but something which is just a giving for the sake of being, is something which is much more encouraging for that vibration of spirit to actually come through and purely show itself.
The way he speaks, it's just amazing how he's an amazing little boy, you know. He comes through with love and light, and he just radiates that out, and I never try to contain it. I just allow him to express himself freely, you know.
Yes,
lovely.
And
yeah.
It is most important, friend, that is something that you have recognized. And it really means, sadly, you see, all children would be this way. If you look at children of the rainforests, you will see the exact same resonance. The fact that they are actually glowing within their own life form, but also you look into their eyes and you see their spirit. And it's really and truly vibrant, because they're allowed to show it. They're not afraid of themselves.
Yes, it's them in their own power and appreciating that which they are.
Indeed so, friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Sylvie and Gregory. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much.
Much love and light.
Don't leave it so long next time. Take care.
Quite soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, you were at, what were you saying before? You can't remember. We were actually talking about how
the resonance of energy
in the wall.
Yes, so. So it's quite an interesting point, is it not, that you have then someone who resonates, as I say, they resonate anger. What is it that they do? Well, they're actually deriving anger through their lack of correlation, their lack of understanding, whatever, frustration. Or maybe it's just anger through fear, or maybe it's anger because of resentment of someone else's situation, or they want to instill power over them. So this, then, is a struggle of power. And it will be that the vibration of that being will be executed in a certain way, maybe through violence or something like that. Or, shall we say, maybe it's on a completely a different relationship, and it is affected exactly the same as our dear friend here were talking, as we were talking about his loving child and the loving energy which permeates through him. This is slightly different in that this is the individual. But what we're talking about here is actually being able to detect the vibration of past energies and how that may be related to the fabric of a place. So then you have a situation where an activity is created by one sentient energy. It is created either in the vibration of love or in the vibration of intensive negativity. So that means to say that this is something which is both chemical and physical. And it comes off from the decision-making process that being has created. Yes, so they had created anger, it's lessened the vibration, slowed it right down, so that it's only so many beats per second instead of the hundreds of beats per second that it is supposed to be. So it means to say that that is something which, if you like, it's a little like as though you had a sponge, and ordinarily it would retain whatever liquid it was in close proximity to. So if you move a sponge across a surface and it contains clear water, the sponge will hold the clear water. If it is that it's containing something that has a red dye in it, then it will have it will contain the red pigment of that situation. It's exactly the same as how cellular structure or organic matter of any form will hold the energy and contain the reflection of the energy of the being who was closest to it, or who perhaps was volatile enough to be able to send that energy and let it be held within the fabric of that place. So it actually does have to be quite an intensive situation. Now, like as not, my dear friend, if you went into our dear friend's home, who just visited with us and spoke, you would find that purely and simply by walking into the fabric of that person's home, that you would feel the ambience of love and energy which emanates from him and his children and his wife. You would feel that loving energy as soon as you walked into the place. You would probably feel it as soon as you even saw the dwelling itself. And this is an interesting facet. How do you see loving energy in the fabric of a place? Well, you actually feel it, first of all, and actually you can come upon a place, a house, shall we say, and it has a certain ambience coming from it. That can permeate up to 20 feet away from it.
So would this be something that if you were house hunting, that you would actually have, you know, it would your senses would pick it up even if you didn't know what it was?
My dear friend, you could actually view a place, a house, from a photograph.
Right.
And you would understand. And that is a difficult transition to make, I understand. Not even being in the presence of it, but actually looking at a photograph of a place and understanding that it has a certain energy about it.
Yes, so even not necessarily in a mediumistic fashion, but you would be reading that picture without realizing it. And everybody could do that, couldn't they?
Absolutely so, yes.
So a vibration.
And it's not just to do with the lines of the place or anything of the way that it was architecturally designed.
Mm.
It might be a complete hovel, yet it may well contain the fabric and energy of spirit.
Mm.
So it means to say that will be something that you can, become in touch with. Not that you have to psychometrize or protect or practice with that energy, but that it's something that can just come to you instantly.
Yeah. So a specific house would have its own vibration.
And aura, yes.
And aura, and that in turn would actually harmonize with a specific person.
Yes.
And their vibration.
Yes, absolutely so. And the point to make about this is it means that when you have a situation like this, which is unfolding, so it's, shall we say, estates, a house, a dwelling that has a great deal of love within it because of the occupants, because of their behavior toward one another, because of their energy toward one another. It may well be then that this situation attracts a lot of wildlife as well, as you find that there are a great many birds that live around it as well. That doesn't mean to say that they're there just because you have bird feeders or whatever, and you put out food for them. Of course, yes, you're going to attract a great deal, a great many of them, by providing those facilities for the birds or for the animals or whatever it is. But I'm saying, though, that they will actually be attracted to the situation in any event, particularly if you bring about a real vibrant and ambient state to your dwelling place.
So fairy would be attracted to your garden as well, and your home, if you within a harmonic house like that, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Wouldn't
they, so. Yes. And this would be all forms of fairy. Not necessarily to do with just particularly flora, but fauna as well. Fauna fairy will come around very readily around a specific dwelling place.
So it's interesting, isn't it? What, you know, when you're looking at a place and when you're decorating a place and making it your home, when you're building your nest, as it were, what drives you is not necessarily what you think is driving you.
Oh, yes, absolutely so. Yes, and similarly, of course, if you actually live in a place which, shall we say, for example, an area that is violent, it is still possible for you to create a sanctuary place within a violent setting, and that actually it then attracts everyone to it.
Well, I think many people have to do that to survive, don't they?
Yes, of course, absolutely so. And that's really, though, I'm saying that it's a very real situation. Don't just think that that this is all rubbish and claptrap and nonsense. It isn't. It's actually a real situation that you can create within the energy of your own environment, the way you are, the way you behave, and the way that you even paint the inside of your dwelling.
I was just going to say something and then it went completely out of my mind. I was going to ask you about the spirit world and homes in the spirit world that people make and create, shall we say, create.
Yes.
Are there really interesting shapes that we don't get here that is totally unlike the sort of things that we build here?
Yes, well, it may well be, of course, that the shapes or determination of yourself and your own mind is something intransient, which means to say, then, that nothing is fixed. So it will be that the way in which your living space appears is something which is ever moving or blending.
Okay, so it's sort of got a life of its own, basically.
Yes, quite so. And it really reflects your inner nature or how you feel. I know that it's very difficult for human physical beings to think of a concept of how, in fact, for example, the spirit world or why the spirit world would actually encounter you with having a place to live as such. And it may well be that you continue not to haunt the place of your physical state and survival, but actually that you just continue to be in that area or in that vibration, you see? And that doesn't mean to say that you're stuck there or anything like that. Or it may well be that you wish to go and live somewhere else, which is completely different. Maybe somebody else's place in physical state.
So I'm just wondering if you know, the shapes of the houses are very different to us, because you were saying about how good it is to take out corners of a room and that sort of thing, and
yes,
have rounded edges. How good that is in encompassing and encouraging the spirit into the body. And I just wondered if this was something that was, you know, like a spiritual situation.
That is encountered in the spirit world.
Yeah.
Well, it really does depend, of course, upon the mind. And
okay,
the mind that you take with you to the spirit world. It will be a matter of your consciousness. What is it that attracts you? What is it that you feel ambient and beautiful to resonate within your own vibration and to reflect the vibration of how you feel. That's oftentimes why it is that many beings in the spirit world actually give up their sequestered dwelling that they've always dreamt of, perhaps, little cottage with roses round the door and all of that, little picket fence. Oftentimes people dream and think of that, and that is their first dwelling place. Like a first-timer, then, in the spirit world, there you are, you have your little cottage and place of refuge. So what are you going to do with it, you see?
Absolutely. Hello, caller, who's speaking?
Hi, this is Wendy in West Virginia.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello.
I just had a quick question. It sort of pertains. I've been told by a couple of spiritual people that they asked me if I was a widow. And I said, no, I'm divorced. And I was wondering if you had any information for me on that.
An interesting point, friend, because this may well be construed as thinking then that from your point of view that you are still feeling as though this is something of the break of your life that is in a sense being viewed by others as still happening to you, as still, in a sense, taking effect, which, of course, it may well be. And I have to say that such things like the trauma of parting in relationships oftentimes can resonate in that way. I would not, however, think or feel that even if you are glad to be away from that relationship, that it's something that's always going to affect you. Naturally, you will gradually grow away from it too and become much more happy, perhaps, because obviously through going through such a situation as that, it is quite rending, really, from the whole aspect of your physical being. After all, you have, both of you, immersed yourselves in one specific relationship which you have obviously tried to put everything into. You have set up a whole idyllic around that situation. Therefore, it's a very difficult energy to overcome and oftentimes can well be significantly seen by others as though you have actually lost the partner through bereavement or something like that. And it's really to do with the energy of how you manage to move over the hurdle of that kind of separation. And it's really to do with the way that you have to reshape and refocus your life.
Yes, he moved overseas. We got separated. He's in the military. He went to Germany, and I pretty much haven't seen him since. So that really rings true. I just didn't know if there was an entity that maybe past life or something that I was still connected to, that I was a widow. Concerning.
Well, my dear friend, the point is that you have most certainly been reflecting upon situations of energy of you as a pure, beautiful being, as you are.
Thank you.
Pure, beautiful being that you are. You see, you have to remember this, friend. You cannot think of this as being a fault-based situation. So you have to understand that the beautiful being that you are, in your life, your continuous life of millions of years of age.
Right.
It means to say that you have moved through and helped other peoples and other beings in their spiritual journey or in their physical release that they had. So oftentimes, yes, of course, you could turn to anyone else upon the physical planet and say, you have been, or you may think that that person has been around an energy of someone else who passed, or that they passed, or whatever. Of course, because you've been a doorkeeper, you've been a helper to others, you've been an instigator of energy of others, and a helper to their energy, to helping them find their gifts. You see?
Right, yes, yes. I just didn't know if I should try and contact spiritually this husband that had passed away, because it keeps on cropping up.
Well, my dear friend,
no,
it is not necessary for you to do that. It is necessary for you to explore yourself, perhaps. And I would solely suggest that. But that is something of yourself, for your own reasoning and for your own understanding of what's actually in the physical dimension and what is actually possible in your own physical life now.
Right, right. Well, I felt it pertained to your conversation about energy and attracting.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, absolutely so, yes.
That's absolutely great. Thanks ever so much for calling, Wendy. Do phone again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, all of this, everything is so connected in
yes.
so many different ways. I mean, you know, it's incredible that the emotions that we pick up from situations, from people, from how ideas are ricocheted around, including, like we were talking about, the fabric of a building even.
Yes. How is that actually possible for spiritual energy or easement to actually be present? As I say, oftentimes it can be locked within the cell structure of the fabric of a place. So it's not something that you try to do, but actually is a mechanic of having different dimensions which are in a supposition to one another. So it means that I understand that many people will perhaps decry this whole situation and say, well, that's ridiculous, it's not possible. Well, quite simply, a misunderstanding the whole fabric of what is, what are different dimensions. How do they relate to one another? If you are a being in your three-dimensional world, that means to say, if you deny that there is another dimension, you deny the aspect of thought. You deny the aspect of communication across different beings, how they communicate themselves without any other mechanism other than thought is quite simply through the spirit. And the situation that is created there is something which is both magnetic and something which allows energy to be propelled from one being to another through desire, through emotion. Yes, of course. These are not just chemical energies which are created by the physical being, but our energy is created by decision that you wish to send.
I was just thinking about, you know, creating harmony in the home and that sort of thing, and how we actually do attract, you know, the elementals, the fairy and that sort of thing,
yes.
but also good spirits and maybe spirits of people that have lived there. And I just like to talk a little bit about that because, you know,
yes.
when people say, you know, we've got people... we know that we've got spirits in our home
yes.
for whatever reason.
Yes,
they move
absolutely.
Things, they turn lights on, and, or whatever. It doesn't have to necessarily be a bad spirit, does it?
Oh, no, of course not. They may just be experimenting as well, of course. It may well be, for example, may well be someone who is actually a part of your spirit team, and what they're doing is experimenting with a certain ability to be able to operate certain facets of your physical environment. So there it is. They turn on and off a light. They perhaps open a door and close it again. And that could be a door to a cupboard as well as a door to a room.
Well, it could be a family member, couldn't it?
Yes.
So
of course, it may well be something that's ancestrally tied to you
mm-hmm.
and that they wish to make their presence felt. Mother, father, sister, brother, whoever may... It may be,
mm-hmm.
and it's love attraction, which has not held them there, but they're just visiting.
Mm. They liked it there before.
Yes, like your vibration, why not return?
Yes, absolutely. And this is something to remember, I think, when people do have problems in their home in that way, theoretically, that very often if you delve into the situation of the household, there will be trauma in the family, there will be a lot of negativity and anger and fighting, squabbling or whatever.
Yes.
So this is always something good to remember as well, and this goes back to the child in the cot, in the room, beautiful room, womb-like room that you make, and it's just, you feel the harmony of that when you walk in. Well, imagine creating that in the house.
Exactly.
Forever.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, that has got to help everybody, hasn't it?
Yes, so it's exactly the same then that if you teach a child how to respect their own space, so it will mean then that they'll become perhaps a little more tidy than they are ordinarily. if they come to see and understand that if they have a great littering going on in their room, that it's something that's deeply reflective within them. And oftentimes you can change these events simply by communication. It's important, really, that you learn to do this, that you pick up upon certain situations as closely as you can, but not that you are using it as a big stick or anything like that. But what you are doing is you are communicating wants, needs, and desires as they are, purely and simply by their behavior. So whatever you see is really a direct result of the behavior of how they're feeling at the time. So if you are communicating with others in your family group, and it is a very loving setting ordinarily, but things arise that are misshapen or out of character, you will soon detect it and find it and understand it. Therefore, you can help them upon their journey. But you need to communicate in order to do that. It's exactly the same as any situation then. So if you are a person whom something has happened around your life, or not necessarily is it related to your own present physical life now. It isn't, not necessarily. It may well be to do with something completely different.
Can I just talk about similar points about the home and creating this perfect home for mind, body, and spirit in harmony?
Yes.
We could move that on to people that suffer with depression or post-traumatic stress disorder or something like that.
Yeah.
Surely this is something that ought to be incorporated in the healing of the person who is living so anxiously every day.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you, and much of it, particularly to do with post-traumatic stress and that kind of situation, is actually to do with a matter of control, not forgetting that post-traumatic stress usually comes about through an inability to control one's own environment. And even though that person has been trained and created within that specific sense of being in control, it's part of the inability to control their own exterior environment that actually leads to this distress. So, in other words then, if you have a person suffering from post-traumatic stress and they are living in an environment with cracked walls or something like that, it's something that you need to help them to heal their own environment by perhaps helping them with that environment to not paper over the cracks, but to actually fill them in. This is significant because it also means to say that it's helping that person to shape their own environment, to heal themselves like you heal the fabric of a place.
And should that person do it themselves?
Well, actually, it is very good therapy to do that.
Yes.
I cannot say that you can always get a person to do that.
No.
But I would actually encourage it, if at all possible. Oftentimes it will be that the person involved will not actually even be able to summon the energy.
No. To
even make the bed, yet alone, and all they can barely do is climb into it. Oftentimes it is part of the reason why you often find people in post-traumatic stress situations that they do wild or unpredictable things, quite simply because they are not at one with their environment. And sometimes these can come completely out of the realm of that person's physical mind, so that they may not actually understand what it is they've done or doing. They may not even engage with that at all.
Well, I hope there are people listening, and we think probably everybody knows somebody with PTSD, and that this is something that would help, basically, if they can't do it themselves, to maybe do it for them. So would that help? The same situation would help them with taking the corners out of the rooms and that sort of thing?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. The point is, with most people in that situation, it's a rending of their control aspect of life. That is part of what has been created that creates the distress within them.
Actually, if you could just quickly say what I meant by that as well for people that didn't hear about taking the corners out of rooms. It was like, not literally. You could make a round room. That would be
yes,
awful.
Of course. Yes.
But basically, you were actually talking about sort of being able to cosmetically disguise them, wasn't it?
Yes,
or put a plant up in the corners.
Yes,
or
absolutely. So that you don't actually use them in the same way that you had previously.
Yes. So it's not drawn. So you haven't got lots of angles, really.
Yes, you're not being drawn to the angles, rather than you are seeing that you have a room which is more holistic, more whole around you and encompassing.
Yes. So sharp edges, harsh colours and that sort of thing actually help with people with problems, don't they? So, okay.
Sharp edges help with problems, friend?
Yes, to disguise.
To disguise them, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sharp edges don't help with problems.
Yeah, sorry, no, I didn't mean that. I was just actually looking at my notes here, I'm sorry.
It is quite all right, I'm just wanting the listener to understand exactly what we're saying here.
Absolutely, so disguise sharp edges.
Yes, yes, quite so. We blend away different situations so that they become more holistically settled within it. So it means to say then that you as a sufferer of one thing or another, if you understand anything about environment at all, it will be that you take out the complexities of colour around you.
And patterns.
And patterns and that kind of situation, yes. Patterns aren't really good for you.
Yeah.
In that respect.
Too busy. But talking of patterns, there is a pattern though, a theme that has run through all of this, and how... it can help so many different people in so many different ways, basically, to live in this way.
Yes, and obviously, you see, if you have, there are certain patterns that you can live with. For example, certain kinds of flower, certain kinds of leaves, that kind of thing. If those are echoed within a certain room, it will be that you find it environmentally settling. It depends entirely upon the colours used and the way in which that is presented. And that will either help you to focus or to become neutral, so that you actually are enabling yourself to breathe, rather than it pushing your diaphragm up into your neck.
So visually, we don't put enough thought into what we're taking in, even subliminally, do we? I think that's an important thing that we've learnt here during this series, actually, is that we have to be careful of that.
Yes, of how is it that your conscious thoughts correlate, react to the environment you present or that you create yourself.
Mm.
Oftentimes it will be that human beings create an unsettled environment. And even if that is something not wholly based upon a single fabric of one place, it might be the environment of the mind, it might be the pressures of consciousness upon someone else.
Something to remember.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Quite so.
Okay, well, that's been fascinating, as usual, Gregory. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. With love and light, blessings be, my dear friend.
Bye-bye. And I'd like to thank you, and thank you for our callers. And do join us again next week on Spirit's Work. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.